The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside and this edition of This Week in Comics. Lots to get to this week. Obviously, we'll talk a little bit about Finger Guns number one from Vault Comics, but we talk Star Wars, lots of Star Wars. We get into Clone Wars at the end. We're going to do Kryptonite Key Club at the end and really get into Star Wars number three. John and I have a great conversation. Hopefully, you've read that book. And then at the end of that, we actually talk about the latest Clone Wars episode as well. We also talk a lot about 5G and where DC could be going. We talk Harley Quinn. We talk Flash Forward. A lot to get to tonight. Let's get to my favorite part of the week and let's head into the store. Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. Great to be back here at Arkham Comics and Games.
Always good to have you.
How's the weather down there?
Changes by the minute.
Yeah, what's going on? I saw you tweet that out. What's going on?
Well, it was like, you know, Monday and Tuesday I wore shorts. Today I had a jacket. Tomorrow I'll have a jacket and a sweatshirt. Saturday I'll have shorts again. So,
jeez.
Yeah, the weather changes. Well, you know, they say that everywhere, but I mean, the weather changes every 10 minutes, it seems like.
Wow. Yeah, we're up back. I should say back up in New England when I go home after this podcast.
Pretty consistently cold.
Actually, no. It's been like 60s the other day.
Oh,
It was beautiful. Today was
That it wasn't a very hard winter this year.
No, not at all. Yeah. Not at all. It was surprising. And it's like everybody around here is like, we're going to get something.
Oh, it'll come.
All
before,
of a sudden, you'll be like,
sometime before April, it'll come.
Yeah, it's like, but every year we average about 30 inches of snow, and we've gotten 10.
Yeah.
So we're expecting about 20 in the next couple weeks.
Right.
So, hey, whatever.
Yep, take it as it comes.
Yep. We got anything exciting in news?
Well, I don't know about exciting, but I've got...
We've got stuff. I know it.
I've got some stuff, yeah. First one, a lot of these are just start dates for things that are coming up. It looks like Netflix is going to start shooting its Sandman series in May. So I would think we could look forward to that sometime in 2021, which would be cool because I'm really looking forward to that one. She-Hulk is casting right now, so
I've heard plenty of rumors on that.
Yeah, lots of rumors as far as who is going to be She-Hulk, and there's no definitive person for that yet. But according to the casting notes, they're open to any ethnicity and age group, really. They just have to have the size to fit the bill, I guess.
Who did I hear recently that was small? I heard it. Oh, man, I wish I knew what it was. I heard it on Comic Talk today on the Nerdy Legion. And who was he talking about? And it was somebody that's really tiny. And they're like, that lends you to think that they're going like full MCU CGI.
Well, yeah, because honestly, Jen Walters doesn't have to. I mean, she can just be a normal size woman, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, really, they can go with anybody there. It's just whether or not they want to go with like the Lou Ferrigno concept and have two different actresses, or if they're going to go full CGI.
What do you mean two different actresses? That wasn't him?
Lou Ferrigno? Lou Ferrigno and the courtship of Eddie's father, because I can't think of his name.
Yeah, right.
Bill Bixby, that's what it is.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're going to go – like, that's old school. Like, I don't think anybody's going to go that route anymore, although it's a lot cheaper than CGI. But, yeah, technically, I guess the size doesn't matter. If they're going to CG it up anyways, they can have
anybody. Keep telling yourself that.
Yeah, well, I have to. It's the only way I can get through life. Hey, good news for the three subscribers that have DC Universe.
Oh, Brightside? Oh.
Yeah. It looks like Harley Quinn's coming back sooner
yes.
than we thought.
That's
new
insane.
Episodes in April. Well, and did you read the
I
reason
wanted to
why?
Talk to you about that. Why? Yeah.
Well,
they're shutting it down?
Well, no, but it's kind of what we already knew this and kind of forgot, but they ordered 26 episodes originally of this
right.
show. And then they decided halfway through that they were going to split them up over two seasons. Now, I didn't expect them to come back that quickly, but really these episodes were kind of all done at once. So
let's be honest, though, if it's coming back April 3rd,
but yeah, it could
isn't
be done
that like
in,
the
it could
hiatus
be shutting down
that
in
like
May.
Arrow yeah. did or yeah. Flash did in from December yeah. to January.
Yeah, DC Universe could be shutting down in May. You don't know. We don't know.
Well, if it's 13 episodes and it's starting in April, that's going to take them
June.
Until June.
Yeah, at least June.
So,
but
which takes them conveniently.
Yeah.
Cha-ching, your favorite.
I know, it's my catchphrase.
Right past like the HBO Max. So
right. Well, that's what I was thinking.
That
yeah,
blend
right.
to get
yeah.
you going. That's what I was when that news came out. I couldn't wait to talk to you about it because I'm like, what are they doing?
Because
here?
Honestly,
that's
the latest
weird.
The latest thing I read talked about Titan season 3 on HBO Max.
And oh, really?
Yeah, I don't remember where I don't remember where it was that I read that, but.
Look at you. You're earning your name tonight, Resourceful
Again,
Amplifier.
The only – yeah, right. Only you and I know what that means. But it just only bothers me in the sense that I've paid for a whole year of DC Universe. So if it's going away in June
– I'm down to monthly now.
Oh, are you? See,
yeah.
Mine renewed in December, and I just let it go. So I'm paid up for the whole year. But
yeah, I'm monthly.
But yeah, it's because honestly, if Titans goes to HBO Max, I don't think I need DC Universe anymore. I'll just move over to HBO Max. But
I've got my fingers crossed that they do something. I'm like I told you, I am dying for CW commercial free. That's
right.
what I'm hoping they turn that into. All those shows go that because they're like I said, we've already talked about and they've announced it that was it Stargirl
right
is going to both. CW
yes.
and
DC
Universe.
Right.
And the DC Universe one is going to be one commercial free.
Right.
And it probably will
and
be
and a week
edited.
Ahead, I think. Oh, no, a day ahead. It's
a
only
day
a day
ahead.
Ahead. Yeah.
Right. So, you know.
I don't know. I mean, honestly, you know, we've talked about this so many times, but I hope it does go away. I honestly just want DC Universe to fold into HBO Max and go away.
Right.
So I don't have to pay for two things.
Right.
And you know, if Titans ends up there, that's really all I was hanging on for anyways.
Yeah, I don't – but that's the thing is at the end of the day, the content is still going to go somewhere.
Well, right. I don't want any of the shows to go away. I want another season of Harley Quinn too.
Yes.
I just don't want to have to pay for two services to get them. But
– Harley Quinn, let's talk about that for a second. That,
yeah.
That season
– was great.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It
really
so –
I really liked it.
I love the way they wrapped it up.
Yep.
I love the Batman reveal
yeah.
to the Joker. That
yeah.
was fantastic.
It was great. I know. I was like, that
and
is
Joker's
awesome.
Reaction was yep. like, you just don't get that.
Yeah.
Like, the stuff they did in that season, it just like that, like kind of was like off the wall, like, how for a show like that to do stuff that's never been done
right.
in a Batman universe, you'd be like, how has it not been done yet?
Right.
And they did it. And it's like, I mean, it was all, and it was all funny, entertaining stuff
yeah.
and adult humor too at the same time, but not over the top.
Not
and,
over the top. Really just language. And there was a little yeah. innuendo. I mean, there was a little bit of sexual innuendo,
oh,
but it was
there,
mostly,
I thought there was a lot, but
mostly language.
Yeah.
But yeah, very adult. But yeah, really great. My sleeper favorite is Commissioner Gordon, actually. He was so good.
Yeah. Yeah. He,
especially it, that last episode.
Yeah. That's yeah. another, like, that's another thing that's never been done with Gordon. Like, where else have you seen that version of Commissioner Gordon?
And, never.
And for them to take those risks and do those.
Yeah. Because honestly, the version of Batman too was like, you'll never see that again in any kind of like serious format.
Yeah.
But
the only one
really
that we've
good.
Seen in the past was Bane.
Yeah.
And they kind of just went with that Bane from Dark Knight.
Hardy. Yeah, Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy,
Kate.
Yeah.
Who was my favorite until the end where Gordon kind of took him over, I think.
Well, they were both kind of like sporadic characters throughout the entire run, but really looking forward to what they do with season
1.5, season 2. Yeah.
After the hiatus.
1B.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So what else you got?
All right. So Star Trek is starting to be everywhere. It looks like they have confirmed. Well, I mean, Star Trek has kind of been off and on for a long time, but
yeah.
But now they've confirmed the fourth movie, which was kind of in doubt up until I think Picard started doing so well, and I think that's really what kicked some of this stuff into gear. But they confirmed the fourth movie and two more shows in development. So, in addition to, there was already an animated show in development for CBS All Access. So, there's now going to be five different Star Trek shows on CBS All Access plus the movie. So, for those that love Star Trek and were kind of deprived for a long time, we're back in the golden age of Star Trek, it looks like.
Where am I seeing the – I'm seeing the ads in the comic books for another service that's offering all the Star Trek.
Oh, really?
Seasons. Yeah, it's I could look through my books right now, but it's – I can't remember where – it's not CBS All Access, and I saw it, and I was wondering if they're owned by the same company or something.
I haven't noticed it, but Paramount owns Star Trek.
Yeah.
So,
but CBS All Access has every Star Trek
– right.
Like movie and series,
yes,
all in there.
And not all the movies, because I looked; some of them are missing.
They don't, okay.
But all the series seem to be there. But a handful of the movies, for some reason, are not there, and it may just have to do with licensing agreements.
Of course.
Some point, I think they'll all be there.
Yeah,
but there are a few missing right now.
Yeah, wife and I are going to get back on that now that we're finishing up with Lock and Key.
Yeah,
got to get that done for Monday's show.
There you go.
See, nice little plug there.
Segue. And then last but not least, at least for me, so Project Luminous, Star Wars, they revealed what that is all about. And it's basically a publishing initiative for the High Republic. So, I mean, the High Republic is now being thrown around all over the place as far as the next series of movies and TV shows, and now the publishing arm. So I get the feeling that this is like where we're going to be living for a while when it comes to Star Wars. I would imagine, you know, print usually sets the stage for film and TV. So I get the sense that these are going to start developing the stories that we're going to see in the movies for the near future. So I'm pretty excited about this. There's a novel and comic series that they're talking about. I think the novel is already up for pre-order. And Charles Soule is writing the novel, who's currently writing the Marvel Star Wars series.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, which I know we're going to talk about a little bit later today. So
yes.
I like what he's doing with that in the comics. So I look forward to reading the novel as well. So
cool.
And that's really all I have for news. I'm going to stay away from all the DC Dan DiDio stuff.
Oh, you are?
Unless you want to get into it.
Yeah, let's get into that a little bit, because I was shocked.
I'll be honest with you. I think Dan was shocked.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about all the rumors that have been thrown about since the news, and all, like, AT&T and 5G. And blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm getting it all mixed up. I'm like, are they talking cell phones here? Are they talking?
No.
I know. But I'm just, but here's the thing. And then you get into the rumor that Marvel might buy DC. And that rumor has been out for.
Yeah.
What, 50 years?
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
The latest one, though, sounds like it could be plausible, like they would sell the rights to publishing, but they would retain the rights to for movies and stuff, because they can,
You know what I mean? Like, that's all that they care about. That's all that AT&T would care
about. It's possible that AT&T could sell their rights to publishing.
That's what I'm talking
about.
Whether
they would ever allow Disney to become involved in that, I can't imagine. Because Disney would never buy the publishing arm of DC if they did not have access to the movie division. Disney would never make that deal.
Right, because why would they want
why
the publishing?
Would they, right, they wouldn't want it either.
You know what I mean?
So, it's like, because Marvel's not doing considerably better than DC when it comes to the publishing arm anyway.
Correct.
So I could see the rights to publishing going somewhere besides AT&T, but never to Disney. I just don't see a world where that ever happens.
Right.
Most of this is just really being blown out of proportion as far as AT&T shutting down DC Comics. I don't think that that's really in the cards. I think, you know, the 5G is probably what did Dan DiDio in, though.
Because, really?
Yeah. There's been a lot of pushback from the, you know, consumer end of it. And, again, we don't know because even owning stores, we don't have any more information than really anybody else. But my gut is that AT&T and DC pushed back on 5G and Dan probably tried to make a stand and ended up, you know, becoming a casualty because he wasn't willing to let it go. So whether we get 5G or not at this point is up in the air. Although I can tell you that the Free Comic Book Day book from DC is the launch to 5G. So that's right. Already coming. So I don't know how far we are down this path to where we can turn it back or not. But I've not talked to one single person that's excited about 5G.
No.
Not one person.
Well, here's the thing. This is my version of what I understand 5G to be. It sounds like all Elseworld stories that they're developing this to – they're going to advance the ages of all the characters.
Right.
And it's like, okay, we're going to come into the fifth generation as it is.
Right.
But yet – all the characters, all the other stories are still ongoing. So, like, you'll still be able to get your regular, say, Batman. You'll get your Batman stories, but now we're going to have this new 5G version of Batman that you can also get. So,
well, yes
to me,
and
the,
no.
What's that?
Yes and no. Because,
well,
again,
let me just finish the reason, and I think this is the last thing I wanted to say was this is why nobody's excited is because nobody has, it feels to me like nobody has a definitive thing to be excited about. It's all just like what we're talking about right now, like almost speculation. Correct?
Well, every bit of this is speculation because we haven't had an announcement of anything official.
That's what I mean.
Other than the timelines. Like, we know what the generations are because those were laid out for us about 6 months ago, you know, as far as where we are now in Generation 4. What's happening in G5 is what's up in the air because nobody knows definitively. But the prevailing rumor is pretty much like what you said, that the main core characters, you know, basically your Justice League, are going to be aged up, you know, to the point where they're, you know, 50, 60 years old or what have you, and be replaced with younger versions. Those will be the in-continuity stories that'll take place alongside something like Teen Titans or other books, because not every book will be affected by 5G. You know, you'll still have something like Teen Titans or Nightwing and some of these other titles that would pretty much go on unaltered. So the 5G stories would take place in continuity with all those other characters. But they're talking about running concurrently books with, like, the Bruce Wayne Batman and, you know, those characters continuing on in stories that are not part of continuity. So really it gives you the option to read whichever one you want.
Right.
But it also puts the burden on people that want to read both to have to spend a lot more money. But who wants to read a bunch of Batman and Superman stories that are not in continuity, that are just a bunch of Elseworld stories? Nobody wants that. And nobody wants these other characters to become Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman. Like, nobody that I know is excited for this. Now, granted, right. I don't know everybody, but I read a lot and
Come
I talk
on,
to a lot of people.
You know, good 2 or 3%.
Exactly. I know the 1% enough to know I'm not one of them. So, but I just don't know anybody that's excited about this. So I think there was probably some pushback from DC on whether this was the right way to go. And this was Dan DiDio's, like, this is what he wanted. You know, he was really pushing this. So again, without having, you know, inside information, I get the feeling that he probably fell on his sword for this. And,
right.
So whether we get it now at all or in some reduced fashion, like, we don't know. Like, things are really up in the air as far as what's happening with 5G and what's happening with DC. To the point that I don't even know what this free comic book day book is going to signify at all, if it's
right.
if it's going to do anything or not. That's why I didn't really want to get into it too much, because there's really nothing to say that with any accuracy.
Well,
because,
to me,
you know,
until
we don't
this,
know. The only thing we know for sure is Dan's gone. Like, that's the only thing
right.
we can. That's the only thing we know for sure.
But I haven't seen this much 5G talk, and that's what I wanted to get into, because, I mean, we've never talked about it, and I wanted to get into it a little bit for,
yeah.
I mean, for us, for our listeners, and just to be like, this is what's going on, and it's like, this is where the comic books are going, or they were attempting to go. While you were saying, like, there's no excitement for this, I kind of want to put, like, a real world, like, car version spin on it. So, you know, the new Corvette that's coming out, the 2020 Corvette, it's a mid-engine Corvette. It's the first mid-engine Corvette ever.
Okay.
And the history of the Corvette has been what it was. It's
right.
a front engine, you know, car. And that's what they are. And it was, you know, against the rules to be anything else.
Right.
And I feel like what 5G is doing is, like, they're trying, maybe they heard some people talking and they're trying to do something outside of their norm.
Right.
To try and boost and see what's, you know, boost the enthusiasm, if you will. And what Chevy and Corvette has done with this mid-engine is they've priced it right. They're pricing it to the point that, and they're trying to develop a new set of customers. Maybe they're admitting, all these videos I've seen, they're admitting they might lose some of their tried and true customers, because they're like, this isn't what a Corvette's supposed to be.
Right.
Right. But they're taking a risk, and it looks like so far that it's paying off. We don't know, because you don't know what sales are going to be like. The car hasn't come out yet. But maybe that's what 5G is. It's like the kind of the same idea. It's like, hey, this isn't what you're used to, but they need to market it. And I think that's the next part that we need to see as consumers, because, like you said, we're not excited, but we haven't seen any marketing to be excited about, you know? And it's like we know what's coming on Free Comic Book Day, or you do. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's, you know, what are we excited about? There isn't anything to be excited about. There hasn't been any marketing push.
Well, and again, since we don't know exactly what's going on, it's hard for me to say, but assuming that they were going ahead and replacing all their core characters with different versions of themselves, or, you know, different versions, no amount of marketing gets me excited for that. Like, I don't care what you do. You can blow fireworks out your butt. It doesn't matter. Nothing's going to get me excited about that, because it's not what I want. And again, it's not. I know it's not all about what I want, but
right.
most of the customers I talk to, they don't want that either. And for me as a store, you know, not to give out my concrete numbers, but, you know, Batman is my second best-selling book right now.
Mm-hmm.
I can't afford for that book to go from selling 50 copies a month to 15.
Right.
Can't afford it. Can't afford for Superman to go from 30 to 15. I can't afford to take that hit on all of these books, because a lot of people will drop off, and the ones we pick back up aren't going to make up the difference. Right. There's no way I see a Luke Fox Batman selling me 50 copies a month. Maybe the first issue will, but not issue 7 or 8 or 9 or, you know what I mean? And what's making up
story, though,
what's
no?
making up the difference for me?
Yeah.
That's what I can't afford to have happen.
Right.
And I've had so many people telling me that, you know, a lot of people are just hanging on and they're kind of looking for their way out and
right.
like this is going to be their way out, you know.
Oh wow.
So I don't need that, you know.
Right.
And again, I would think if you talk to a lot of store, cuz even in my store forums and all that stuff I'm in, like literally nobody's excited for this. And I just feel like if DC goes ahead and launches this, that they are so out of touch with what their customer base wants that's what makes me nervous for for
right.
DC more than anything else. Because if you're that off base and you go right. ahead anyways, then that makes me a little nervous, you know?
So. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would be that. Well, and that's the thing, it is a risk to you too,
yeah.
and that's you don't have a choice,
right? It's a risk it's that like, I can't. Right, it's a risk that's
right.
being forced on me.
Like, right, right.
So,
speaking of Dan, did you see Rob Liefeld?
Yeah.
Go off on him.
Yep, sure did.
Do you know that history?
I don't know the history there, but Dan's very
awful.
Dan's very polarizing. There's
yes.
a lot of people that really, really
I like
liked him.
For that.
Yeah, there's
I
a lot
like
of people
that
really liked him and liked some of the things he did and some of the chances he took. But there's a lot of people that really did not. And I get the feeling Rob was one of those. I don't know what their personal history is.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
And
tell
I like
you.
Rob's. I like Rob's stuff. I follow him on Twitter.
Well,
and
Rob's kind of a jackhole too. So,
well, that's the thing. He's just as polarizing.
Yeah.
And
usually,
when
is.
You get people that are like that, it's like, you know, that's when you get two people that they're bashing heads because they're more similar than
right.
they're You know what I mean?
There was a big outpouring of support from a lot of the creators after he was fired. You know, because obviously Dan fostered a lot of careers and helped a lot of people
yes.
into the business.
He's been around a long time.
But there's also a lot of rumor about internal strife and some complaints, you know, from other creators against him. Because, again, he was very hard-lined about his stance. And it was
yes.
kind of his way or the highway. And there was really no flexing.
Which,
you know, as a boss,
I respect
there has
that.
To be – right. As a boss, yeah. there has to be some of that. But as a – especially like in an artistic collaboration,
right.
you have to have a little bit of give because – you know,
or
if you,
you stand by your convictions.
Right.
It's there's if that's the type of person you are, and you stand by your convictions, and if you live with it and you die with it,
right?
And you know, and that's your choice, and that it seems to be that's the type of person he is.
Well, it seems
you know?
To be,
and
I think
you know,
I think unfortunately,
because he walked away, and it's like I respect that.
Well,
it's like
I don't think he walked. Again, the rumor is that he was fired. We don't
right.
know for sure, but I think he died by it. You know, like you said, you live
right.
by it and you die by it. And I think,
but that's what I mean. It's
yeah.
like he knew what his decision was going to do.
Yes,
if that's what happened, and it's like, look, I'm doing this whether you like it or not. Okay, you're fired.
Right.
Okay, fine. See ya. Whatever. Or he just said, you're not going to let me do it. I'm walking. Okay,
right.
you're walking. He's six of one, half a dozen of the
yeah,
other.
Yeah, you're right because it's kind
if
of
that's the story.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like he was shocked.
Probably not.
You know,
nobody ever. Well. I say nobody ever, but we talked before the show about somebody that it happened to. But most people know it's coming or know why it happened. It's very
right, right.
seldom that you're let go from somewhere with no clue as to why you were let go, you
right.
know,
yeah.
or didn't see it coming to some degree. The
yeah.
timing of it is very suspect, though, because it happened on Friday
yeah.
during Comics Pro. So DC had a presentation prepared for Comics Pro that did not
yep.
happen. And that presentation,
the NC2E2, which is this coming.
Right, that presentation, I have to imagine, was all about 5G because
yeah.
the retailers need to know what's going on. So again, that's also
wah, wah.
A certain indication that 5G may not be as stable as we thought.
Right.
Because we didn't – because either way, if DC would want the retailers to have the information, whether it came from Dan or somebody else – you would think that they would have planned for us to get that info. So the fact that they did not also puts you know a lot of doubt on that going forward. So we'll have to see. again, my only question is, like, you know, it takes a long time to produce one issue of a comic book. And, you know, these things are produced months in advance. You know, artwork is commissioned maybe a year in advance in some cases.
Right.
And they had to be somewhat down this path already.
Oh, yeah.
And
well, not only that, the entire, like, a timeline was created.
Right.
This is a new venture, really. And it's like,
well, right,
and
but
if
we
you're
can stay
that, what are you going to do now?
Well, we can just stay in 4G. Like, we don't have to go to 5G.
Yeah, but what are you going to roll out on New Comic Book Day that's going to, like,
well, that
set
book's
up
coming
future
out no matter what. Like, it
what's
has
that
to
mean?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, maybe it just becomes an Elseworlds book on its own. Like, it just doesn't go anywhere, you know? They'd much rather just have a free comic book day dud and just let it go.
Right.
Then go forward with their plans. So, like, they're not going to go forward with 5G just because of free comic book day.
No.
So,
speaking of going forward, let's segue to that. Your recommendation on, I think it was Monday, was to read Flash Forward.
Yes.
So
it
I
was.
Did.
Yes.
I highly recommend that.
Yeah. It's.
I read all six issues.
Well, again,
it's a quick read.
It's a quick read, and I was like, well, it can have long-lasting ramifications for the DC Universe, and then Friday Dan DiDio got fired. So,
right.
I don't know if that's going to mean anything either now. But, yeah, that issue six of that, you know, definitely had the potential to set some things up going forward.
Well, that's what I was going to say. What do you think that could be?
Well,
that storyline could and I like what they did there, going from Heroes in Crisis,
right,
bringing that forward, and then how that, like, kind of ties into even Watchmen.
Well, right, it tied into the Doomsday Clock.
Yeah,
that's the whole thing. It tied a lot of that stuff in together, and but who knows now? Like, I don't know where any of that goes. Because really,
that's what I was going to say. Do you think that they continue that continuity instead of 5G?
Well,
do you think that they develop off of that?
Well, they definitely could, because now you have, you know, without getting into too many spoilers, you know, you have his children, which had disappeared from existence, all of a sudden being brought back into
Wally's current, had a tough year.
Yeah, and they're brought back into current continuity. You know, everybody that forgot them all of a sudden remembers them. So there's a whole new branch of the timeline that exists now because of Flash Forward.
Yeah.
It just depends on what they decide to do with it now. So,
right.
So we'll see. It's all up in the air. But either way, it's a good read. It really kind of brings
entertaining.
It brings Wally back around again. If you were disappointed with Heroes in Crisis and the way Wally was treated, you know, it redeems him a little bit. And brings him back around, but like I said, we'll have to see what happens.
Yeah,
with
really
all of
brings
that.
Him back around.
Yeah.
When's that? We talked about this in the past. One of the reasons I was talking about Rob Liefeld again was Snake Eyes. When's that coming out? I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, so it looks like that Snake Eyes comic comes out in June of 2020. So we've got about 4 months still before that comes in.
Oh, cool. That'll be cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. He was my favorite character.
Yeah.
Like, it must be easy to write that.
Yeah, he has a lot to say. Yeah. It's like writing a Groot comic book, I guess.
So he actually said something, though.
Well, he does.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like you actually have to – it's like when you got in trouble in, like, fifth grade and you had to stay in from recess and write, "I will not whatever you did wrong," over and over.
I used to just have stacks of those in my desk. Did I ever tell you that?
No, but do you remember, I can't remember who it was, and we had to do it in like eighth grade, and a girl went home and she did it on, she had like a Commodore 64 or whatever computer, and she put it and made it printed out over and over.
Oh, jeez.
Like, the teacher was like, "What do you think, I'm stupid?"
See, I was.
So the teacher made her write it out like double. Like, we were supposed to do like 5 pages both sides.
She had to
do
10.
Now you have to do 10 pages both sides.
Yeah.
Dummy.
We always had to write the same thing. This was when I was in Rhode Island, and the sentence was always written on the board, so we knew it never changed. So.
Oh, really?
I got to where, you know, I used to be able to write with two pencils in my hand at the same time. And
oh, wow.
because I had to
That's an artist right there.
I had to
everybody.
Write a lot. I had to write this thing a lot. And so then I got to the point where, like, when I had free time and they were reading and I wasn't just paying attention, it. I was just writing them out. And I had a whole desk full of them. So is then when I actually had to do them, I would just wait a while and then go in my desk and pull five pages out and go turn them in. So, and she never figured out that if you just change the sentence every once in a while, you wouldn't be able to do that. But
well, I think the idea was to get you punished. You know, you had to write regardless.
Right.
So it's like now she-
That's true too, because I was still writing it.
You're still just ahead of the game.
Yeah.
You probably finished the year with like a few sheets of paper and like, God damn it. So
I wonder who got the desk the next year if I left them in there and they just found that and thought, oh wow, I hit the jackpot.
That's great. We always had to write out whatever it was we did wrong.
Oh yeah.
I will not whatever. Like I will not run in the hall.
Right.
Or I will not.
Ours was always the same. So.
Oh really?
Yeah.
That's funny.
I gamed the system there. But yeah, you're right. She probably won because I probably ended up the year writing more than I would have had to.
Right. And you picked up a skill. You can write with both hands.
That's right. Well, no, two pencils in the same hand. It
was
a different hand.
I thought you had two hands
going. It was – I could hold two pencils.
Fill in two lines at a time?
Fill in two lines at a time.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It's like you look like one of those machines.
Yeah.
That's great.
With my two mechanical pencils.
There you go.
Anyway, we got some bunch of stuff that nobody cares about.
Hey, I can't. I was laughing. This is about us. We got some tweets this week. Dr. Joe coming in with Darth Vader number one. Very much enjoyed this book. That ending was awesome and it has great potential going forward. Just the one thing I to kind of gripe over, but I can easily overlook it. And, what did I say? I think I asked him what it was.
Yeah, he said something about why did the droid have to tell Vader to go to Tatooine?
That's right. That's what it was. Yeah. And I was like, well, I didn't find an issue with that.
It's just a story plot, right? Just to move a device to move the story along, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. What else did we have? Oh, and did you see his list this week? That was pretty, his checkout?
I did. Yeah, I just saw it before we started. Actually, I was at dinner, but
yeah, it's a good list.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about quite a few of those. So yeah, we'll talk.
He's
about
a good
a few
pickup this
later.
Week.
Yeah, yeah, he is, yeah, he's got a few
pretty
in
good
there.
Haul.
This one I wanted to bring up on the show: Fred Reed's comics from Indie Alley asked if we'd be interested in fantasy baseball.
Oh, really?
They're looking for somebody. Now, I'm not a baseball guy, but you are.
Well, I'm a Red Sox guy. I'm not like a whole league guy.
Right. And that's why I figured I'd ask you on the air, because I'm like, we could go in together. You have probably more baseball.
You didn't even know
knowledge
the game.
Than
never mind.
I do. I know when you hit the ball, you run to first, right?
Okay. First, yes.
Yes. See, that's why they named it that. And we could go into it together. And seeing that the Red Sox are probably going to stink this year, you'd have some vested interest in the game. Didn't know if you'd be interested.
Well, I'll get back to you. I don't know how much of a time commitment that is. Because fantasy football is great because you only have to deal with it once a week.
Yeah.
Baseball is like 7 days a week. So.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I don't know how often you have to mess with your rosters. I don't know if I have that kind of time.
And I don't know if there's money involved because I don't like to gamble.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we'll talk.
I'll let you talk. We'll look into it.
All right. But that would be cool to do it as a team, and we could go against, I don't know, we'll go against the indie guys. That'd be fun. Yeah. Indie Alley. Let's see. All right. That's about all I have for this week. You ready to get into some books?
Yeah.
You got anything? I'm trying to think if I had anything else. No, I don't think I did. All right. Ready to get into some books?
I am.
All righty. All right. What am I going to spend my money on this week?
All right. So the first book we're going to take a look at is Finger Guns, issue number one. Looks like the main cover for this is selling for about $7. But there's a Hickman wraparound cover that's selling for about $15. And there's also a Comics Pro variant that's selling for $10 to $20. So the Comics Pro variant, that's – I mean, those always go for a little bit of extra money anyway because they're harder to get. But the cover here probably is the wrap cover. That's the one you want to look for. You know, because that's selling for –
Is this the wrap cover?
Almost,
can you see me?
I think that's the main cover.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like a wraparound because it's
– Well, yeah, it does. But I think that's the main cover. I didn't get okay. – I only got the main cover, so I'm not even sure what the wrap cover looks like. But the one you showed me is the one that I got, so –
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Next book is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Genica, issue number one. The one to look at here is the 1-in-25 variant. It's currently selling for about $35. So if you can get that in the 20-ish dollar range, be worth a pretty good pickup for you. And then, you know, the big elephant in the room, just like last week, we have Year of the Villain, issue number three. This is
yes.
the first full appearance of Punchline. And again, this was – we talked about it last week. It was sold out for most stores last week when we talked about Batman 89. So lots –
Hey, Brightside strikes again. I walk into the store today and they were like, hey, Slade goes, TJ, because of you, got his – he got his Year of the Villain this – whatever. Which one was it?
Number three.
Not Year of – It's not Year of the Villain, though, is it?
Yeah, Year of the Villain, Hell Arisen, number three.
Hell Arisen, right. He got his Hell Arisen book
because of us.
Because we were talking about it, and he's like, he went down there and he ordered it, and I think he got like one of the last ones.
Yeah, so I had a couple of these.
People out.
Yeah, for the shelf today. Whereas, like with Batman last week, I didn't have any. I cut off my orders on these when I still had a couple left, and. Sold them to people at cover price today as long as they had purchased issues 1 and 2, or if they purchased 1 and 2 today, they could get number 3 along with it. But yeah, this thing is, you know, again, on fire, just like Batman last week. The main cover is starting to push $60 in some cases, and the variant cover is pushing $70. So, you know, once again, if you can get your hands on these, and most stores, if they even had them at all, were definitely going to limit you to one copy. But yeah, if you were able to get one, great. If you weren't able to get one today, you're not going to get it because I don't know of any stores that had them past, you know, their first hour of being open probably. But yeah, this thing is, again, it's on fire right now. You know, this thing is only gonna live or die based on what happens to this character going forward. You know, they're pushing her for the time being. She's definitely gonna play a big role in the Joker War storyline that's coming up. But what happens to her or with her after that will determine, you know, how long these things hold this kind of value. These are the only two books that are gonna be worth any money, ever. Because going forward, jumping ahead to like Batman 92, which is her next appearance, there's no store that's not going to be prepared for the demand for that.
Right.
You know, we all know that it's going to be hot. We all have plenty of time to get them ordered. These things were scarce because DC created a scarcity on them. So, you know, going forward, if you know, there's definitely going to be books to look for as far as, you know, her appearances. But... You know, the two money books are this one and Batman 89 because there just wasn't enough demand. Any store that gets caught short on Batman 92, shame on them because they should know by now.
Right. Exactly.
So, but that's it as far as speculator books for this week.
All right. Let's get into we only have a few back issue books.
Yeah, there's not many this week. First one is the Hulk issue number one. This is the 2008 series. This is the first appearance of the Red Hulk. Again, this is back in the spotlight because we had a rumor. We think we talked about it on our show last week that the Red Hulk would appear in the She-Hulk Disney Plus series. So this thing has jumped again. It was sitting at around $25. Now it's up to $50. You know, you're not going to find it necessarily in a dollar bin, but you may still be able to find it for, you know, $20 to $25, and that's still a bargain for now. Again, I always have to preface it by saying if he doesn't show up in the Disney Plus show, this thing doesn't hold its value, I don't think. So, take that for what it's worth. Legend of the Blue I'm sorry, Adam Legend of the Blue Marvel, issue number one. Trending up for really no apparent reason. I'm not even sure what this book is, to be honest with you.
Thank you, because I
– But two copies of this book sold last week for over $200 a piece. So
maybe it's because they're the only two in existence?
Maybe. I don't know. I really have no idea what's going on with this book. But anytime you see two sales for that high in a week, this right. Definitely worth taking a look at. I just can't really tell you why. But if you are able to find one of these out there somewhere in the back issue bin, good on you, because it's worth a chunk of change. But that's a type of book that, like, honestly, if that came into a collection that I was going through, I would probably just throw it in my dollar bin, because right. I have no idea. And I don't have time to, if I get 10 long boxes, I don't have time to look up every book. I look for certain right. keys, and this wouldn't be one of them. So, you never
that
know.
That one might be worth searching.
Exactly. You never know what you're going to find. And then the last one is National Comics Rose and Thorn, issue number one. This is from 2012. This is the New 52 appearance of the character. But apparently there's rumors of an HBO movie. I would imagine HBO Max movie in the works. And I've heard these characters listed a couple of times recently in different speculation. So seems like they may be doing something with those characters. But again, either way, this was a dollar bin book a week or two ago, and now it's $20. So definitely one to look for. And that's it for back issue bonus.
All right. Let's get to this week's FOC for next Monday.
Okay. Also, a pretty quick FOC this week. There wasn't a lot going on here. But we have – from DC Comics, we have variant covers for Detective Comics, number 1021. This is a Lee Bermejo cover. And Supergirl number 40 has a Derek Chu variant cover. DC had no new series listed. From IDW, we have Transformers versus the Terminator, issue number 1 of 4, and there's multiple covers there.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. That seems intriguing to me.
It could either be good or
it's just really
so
silly.
Bad it's funny.
Yeah. Or it could be good or it could be Michael Bay. So,
right. Well, it's definitely a Michael Bay.
We'll see.
Or a James Cameron.
True. From Marvel, we have variant covers for the Immortal Hulk number 33. So this is their legacy numbered 750th issue of the Hulk. So there's – just like DC's doing with their 750 issues, there's about 10 covers available for this. These are not $10 a piece though on the plus side, so they a little bit more realistic than DC has been with some of theirs. But there's definitely a bunch of good covers there. And then new series, we have Hellions issue number 1. This is another one of the Dawn of X titles is getting ready to come out, part of their second wave of titles. This one actually looks pretty interesting, at least from the lineup. But, we'll have to wait and see because, we've talked about some of these X books lately not being so great. So, from Vault Comics, we have No One's Rose, issue number 1. There's 3 covers there. And from Dynamite Comics, we have Killing Red Sonja, number 1, 150 covers for that. Archie, number 1, has Super Duck. I'm not sorry, Archie, number 1. Archie has Super Duck, number 1. This is going to be a 5-issue miniseries. There's multiple covers. Valiant has Exo Man of War, number 1, with multiple covers. And Zenoscope has Shang, issue number 1. Of 3, and there's 5 covers for that. And that's it for FOC.
All right, cool. Now the big fun.
The big
time
fun.
To check out.
All right.
What did you check out so far? In whatever order you want to go in. Let's just say I read your first one too.
Okay. So, well, I figured since you showed it to me.
Oh, yeah.
I knew you did. So let's just go with that. So first cool. book I checked out was from Vault Comics. It's called Finger Guns, issue number one. It's written by Justin Richards. It had art by Val Halverson and cover art by Arjuna Susini. Sure, I didn't say that right.
Arjuna.
Yeah, Susini.
Yeah. That's what I would have gone with. Nice work.
Yeah. So, yeah, this was an odd book.
Did you like it, though? I did.
I kind of liked it, but I didn't love it. Like, this was one that it was just fine for me, honestly.
I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
I thought it was fun. What did you think of the art? I thought the art was simple but good.
Yeah, I thought the art was good.
I thought it went with the story. I just thought it was fun.
Yeah. It was not very deep. It was very easy read.
Exactly.
Very quick. A lot of – well, we know you're all about the fun these days.
Yeah,
so.
Right now I am. Yeah.
So, yeah, this is probably right up your alley. It just was so inexplicable. Like, it was just – I have no idea why any of this was going on, what was going on with these kids. You know, the setup is that basically they're able to manipulate people's emotions by firing finger guns at them. Two fingers basically make you angry, and one finger calms you back down. So,
right.
This kid figures out that for some odd reason he can just—it's
accidental.
Yeah, it's
like
accidental.
He just does it.
Right? He does finger guns at somebody, and like he gets a reaction out of them.
You know what it reminded me of? Remember the scene in The Dark Knight? When the kid's in he's in one of the tunnels.
Yeah.
And he's waiting in his parents' car and he's going, pew,
right.
Pew, and then all of a sudden Batman comes down and the cars are blowing up and he's like, oh no.
Yeah. Looks at his fingers.
You thought he did it? Yeah.
Yeah. It was
same idea.
Yeah. It was just really weird. And it seemed like some people were affected by it, but others were not. And they didn't really explain why that was. And I think he got his powers by bumping into the girl that also had the same powers. But I don't know if that's true or not because it didn't really say. So,
but see, that's what I liked about the story is I thought there's a ton of unknowns.
Well, everything's unknown.
That could be explained later and explored as stories. They even, without getting into all of it, but they experiment a little bit with it.
Yes, they do.
And I loved the emotion. And like you said, it's not very deep, but there is a little bit there where it's like, you know what I'm talking about, but the emotion that they go through when they're experimenting on their, you know, finger guns.
Right.
I thought it was what I really liked about it was I thought it was a very interesting story about something we've all done as kids.
Well, yeah.
And it's like something that, you know, it's like, to me, this is like the, one of those like Pet Rock type ideas. Like, how has nobody thought of this in the past? You know, I mean, and people have, because obviously, like I said, we just talked about it in The Dark Knight. They took a little kid and that, you know, obviously he didn't do that.
Right.
But kids think like that. You know, and it's like, oh, whoops, did I do that? And he doesn't know at the beginning of the story. He's like, he doesn't even know if he's doing it.
Right.
Because some of the reactions could have just been that natural reaction. And maybe he thought, maybe he's thinking he did it like a kid would. But, and these aren't little kids either.
No, they're like, I don't know, grade school to teenage, early teens, I guess.
Yeah, early teens, I'd say. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just thought it was an interesting interesting concept.
It was definitely a fun read. You know, like I said, and I didn't hate it. I just didn't really love it either. I think it was good. But yeah, it was definitely interesting. Like,
yeah.
Nothing I've ever really seen explored before. So, pretty fun, I guess.
Yeah.
According to the synopsis, there will be laughs. So, I guess we'll have to see. Oh, and there will also be tears. So,
I didn't get any of that, did you?
Well, I think it's coming.
No. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I got that to look forward to.
Yeah, you have tears and laughs to look forward to. So,
yeah.
Just another day.
All right. So. I read Falcon and Winter Soldier number one of five from Marvel Comics. Writer Derek Landy. Art by Federico Vincenetti.
Yep.
Okay.
That's the guy.
Cover art. All right. Cover art by Dan Mora. Pretty good. Pretty good. I was interested in this because I wanted to see what it was going to, like I said, like I asked you last week, any idea on what this was going to be like pertaining to Disney Plus? What do you got here?
Right.
And this is, they've already both been Captain America.
It's kept with the comics continuity then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're meeting back up. And they have to deal with potentially Hydra resurfacing. So I thought it was a good story. I was entertained. There's some good humor back and forth. Them talking. There's the villain is a new villain. And the way it wrapped up, they actually have a battle that's very reminiscent of Civil War, when those two battled Spider-Man.
Okay.
All right. So when you read this book, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about, because there's the conversation back and forth. This new villain is very talkative, very entertaining, like Spider-Man is.
Right.
You know, only this guy is a villain. But I think it's definitely worth checking out. I was very entertained by the villain and them, and I want to see where this villain goes going forward. Yeah, I mean, he's a new one, and it's very interesting to see where this could go. I think this could be a fun read.
Okay.
And it's going to be five, you know, it's five, one of five,
right.
So should be fun.
Cool. All right. Second book I read was Hidden Society. Obviously issue number one, and this is going to be four issues. This was from, Dark Horse Comics. It was written by Raphael Scavone and art by Raphael Albuquerque. So,
Raphael's across
the
board.
Yeah, I say Raphael squared. So this was really a familiar book to me, even though I've never read this story before. It feels like I have.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it feels like I have. Because basically you meet throughout the first issue, you meet four different characters who are all dabbling or aspiring magic users. And they are being one by one contacted by, you know, an unknown wizard that is basically recruiting them. This wizard's putting a team together. He's putting the band back together. And he's recruiting a team to fight some unknown evil that hasn't been introduced yet into the story. So, again, this feels like something I've read a million times before, even though it's brand new.
Yeah.
The first issue didn't have a lot going on past that. You know, each one of these persons had their, like, you know, several page introduction, and they had their little, I don't even want to say quest, but whatever they were going through to demonstrate their magic. Everyone was a little bit differently, and they were contacted a little bit differently by the wizard. But the art, I thought was really good. Raphael Albuquerque, he's done a bunch of things, and it's basically his art. He's one of those artists where, you know, and I mean this in a good way, but kind of like John Romita Jr., it's like you see his art, it's always the same. You know, you kind of know who it is. His is a little bit more in a good way. But it just looks like, you know, his artwork. So, you know, if you're a fan of his...
Well, artists have style.
Yeah, if you're a fan of his stuff, then, you know, this is kind of, you know, just what he does. But like I said, the writing seemed good. I just didn't feel like the book itself felt very original, at least from the first issue. Now, again, don't know what the evil is that they're going to have to face and what the next three issues are going to entail. But by the end of issue one, the team was basically assembled. So you know who your characters are going to be. And then, you know, we're going to have to see where it goes from there. I did like this enough that I'm going to read the next issue to see what, you know, because I'm intrigued enough to see what's going on. It just felt very familiar to me because, like I said, we've seen this scenario in a million different books or TV shows. So
right. Huh. Well, it was good enough. I mean, good enough to get you.
It's good enough to get me to read the second one. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Cool. All right. You probably didn't read. You didn't read a lot.
I only read Star Wars. I read these two books, and then I read Star Wars.
And we'll save that. We'll save that. That's book three.
And I only read that because you put a tweet out without telling me.
I demanded it.
Yeah. So I read it right before we started.
I know. That's why I tweeted it, because I was like, I got to talk about this. Yeah. There's some fun stuff in there, and we'll talk about that later. Like I said in my tweet, if you're not reading this book, oh, you're missing out. This is a good book if you're a Star Wars fan.
It is, and we'll get into it a little bit more later. But
yeah,
you know, the first series of Star Wars books, the first 25 issues, all kind of took place right after A New Hope.
Yep.
But I don't feel like, even though they were good stories, they didn't explain any mysteries, or they didn't feel as tied into A New Hope as these books so far seem tied into Empire.
Yeah.
Like, these are definitely exploring.
We'll get it.
Yeah, exploring things that were in the movie. Whereas the first series of books
were not. It feels
like
you're listening to our podcast.
Yes.
When I read these books, I'm like, are they listening? Like,
yeah, because they definitely answered some.
The only one with
they answered
thoughts.
Some questions that we have raised specifically on this podcast. So
yes, it's great. Yeah. It's great, and that's why I couldn't wait to talk about it. But so we'll talk about that later. So I read Basketful of Heads number 5.
Okay.
Still really strong, really good. I love that story. And this isn't a fun story,
but it is. I think it is fun.
It's heavy, but it is fun. And it's good Joe
it's
Hill
kinda
horror
like eight,
story.
It's kind of like Eight Heads in a Duffel Bag, if you ever saw that. Remember
it's
that movie?
There. Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. X-Men Fantastic Four. Really, book two, I mean, just as good, if not better, than book one.
Okay.
I'm really enjoying this story. I had a pretty rough conversation in a friendly neighborhood today.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Just got rough, huh?
No, not rough. Rough from my perspective. Like, it was almost like I walked in there, like, in a really bad mood, but I wasn't. But everything I talked about, like, Slade and I went back and forth, and it almost seemed like I was like Mr. Doomsday. Like, I like nothing.
So you were me?
Because But he even said, because he was out at, in Portland at, what was it?
Comics Pro.
We meant Comics Pro.
Yeah.
And he was saying that even Marvel is acknowledging, like, the X-Men line is starting to get too convoluted.
Yes.
There's too much. So
and it's coming too fast.
Yeah. And I was saying, I'm like, I think it's overwhelming. And he's like, you're not the only one. And there's too much too fast and too much information. And it's kind of taken the fun out of it. And I was telling him how you and I always have the conversation. Like, I hate those white pages now because of that, because they've come so much that you're like, come on. And this X-Men Fantastic Four really seems to be answering that. I don't remember a single white page in this book.
No, there isn't.
The pace was really good. It's a page turner,
right?
If I can, you know, and which is unusual for the X-Men books right now. It's some of them are like a slog.
Yes,
to me, anyways.
Almost all of them.
I know you're not a fan of Leviathan.
No,
but I enjoyed Leviathan Dawn.
Well, see, I have no intention of reading it.
I'm actually enjoying that. It's if I can make a quick recommendation, maybe give it a shot. I think Leviathan Dawn, if you read this, it's basically X-Men done right.
Okay. That's got me intrigued.
You'll know what I'm talking about, but it's basically they're copying Krakoa and everything in there.
Okay.
And you'll see what I mean when you read it, but it's more entertaining. And they did in that one book what took them, I don't know how long to develop, in with white, no white pages, no nothing. And they've really, and I can't say they did in one book, because if you've
kept they've been up building Leviathan, yeah, they've been building Leviathan, yeah,
they've been
for
building
a year.
This world for a little while, but it's been, I think it's been a little bit more entertaining. I did enjoy all the X-Men stuff at the beginning, all the, you know, House and Powers and everything. Right. That was a fun event, but I actually enjoyed Leviathan Dawn.
Okay.
It rejuvenated me. I wasn't as low as you were on it, but I was a little bit more rejuvenated.
Okay. Might give it a shot.
Batman Beyond 41. I read, obviously, I picked up 40 because that was, what was it? The big surprise reveal.
Yeah, the Batwoman Beyond.
Yep. I kept with that, and I'm glad I did. I'm enjoying that story. That's just a fun one for me. Detective Comics 1020, still good, still enjoying that. And Batman Curse of the White Knight, you didn't get a chance to read that?
No,
but,
not yet. Yeah, it's getting ready to wrap up. That was issue 7, right? So there's only one more.
Yes. Yeah, and is pretty big.
Well, yeah, because I remember the end of number 6 had a bit of a shock. So
yeah, this one's got a pretty big reveal. Okay. I'll put in it. If you've read the book, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't read the book, check it out. It's a pretty big reveal in there. It's pretty funny. Not funny, but it's, you'll know what I'm talking about when you read it.
Okay.
All of those books are really good. And Batman Superman number 7, not my strongest of the day. Still enjoying it, but it wasn't one that I would be like, oh, I'm loving this book. It was good. It was good, but, you know.
Yeah, because after, I think we talked about the last one, and I was a little bit down on the series after that last issue, so I'll have to see how this
one. Even the art in it seemed a little bit more simplistic. I don't know. Like I said, I read a lot today, and this one just didn't jump, but something's got to be,
well,
you know,
right.
not as good. But it's still, it's still like the book, so. That's about it that I read for today. I also did read all of Lock and Key.
All of it?
So, no, just the first book.
Oh, okay.
Just the first book. Just 6 chapters, whatever.
Yeah,
so.
First graphic novel.
Yeah, the first graphic novel.
Yeah, I've read a bunch of that this week. We'll talk about that for Monday. I was going to wait to bring it up on Monday.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about that one for a different reason, but it'll be good. It's going to be good. Looking forward to Mondays. So, all right. Is that all we got?
I think so.
And we can, all right. We're going to wrap it up here. Let us know what you read on Twitter at @brightside_chat. You can email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. Check out us and all of the other podcasts on Nerdy Legion at nerdylegion.com. Please, John, tell us what they can do on iTunes.
They can rate, review, and subscribe.
Nice.
I feel like now
really
this is a thing.
That.
Like,
well, it has become that.
3 times as a habit. So,
yep. See, there you go. See what happens.
You've added to my. I'm going to need a raise.
I'll double it. There you go. And all right, we'll wrap up from here. We're going to lock the door. If you guys haven't read Star Wars number 3 and you're not into Star Wars, go pick up 1 through 3. Are they readily available?
Well, not from me. I sold out of 1 and 2. This is actually has sold better than the last run as well. I've got more people picking this up than than the last one. So
grab 1 through 3 any way you can digitally. If you're a Star Wars fan, grab it and then jump on, because I'm telling you, this is so much fun. It's so much fun. And all right, I can't wait to talk about it. We are going to lock the door. If you're shutting off, have a great week. We will see you on Monday with Lock and Key. And
all right,
we are out.
Take care, guys.
Hey, Fred. All right, lock it up. Alrighty. So, I love reading this book because, like I said, it's like they listen to our podcast.
Yeah. I was like, how good can it be that I have to read it and talk about it, like, right now, you know?
And
it wasn't so much that it was that great. It was just that it explored a lot of things that we've talked about, you know, a bunch of times.
And like I said, what's the first one that jumps out at you? Leia.
Well, Leia with the carbonite.
Yeah.
The first thing is, like, it looks like she was going down there to figure out how to turn it off.
Exactly.
Which is awesome, because you never really thought about that. Right.
Right. So she went back there with that one. I didn't even think of that when she was on the Falcon.
I didn't either.
Sitting in the back seat, and she's like, I've got my own little mission.
Right. And when she said, I don't think I'll ever forget the way, or something like that, I was like, well, I know she's going to the carbonite chamber, but it's like she can't still think Han is there. I was like, why does she need to go there?
Right.
And then, it's basically like she was going down there to figure out how to turn it off.
But not only that, this whole book is set up with the end of 2, where that hand reaches out and grabs Luke's saber.
Right.
Right? So at that point, this entire book is, who was that?
Mm-hmm.
So you're on the edge of your seat reading – like, I could not wait for this book to come out. I was talking to Alexander at Friendly Neighborhood. He's a huge Star Wars. Right. He fills me in on stuff I don't know. We have great discussions. So we've had a few of them this month about this, because when was – this is a monthly book.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's been a month.
Yeah. So it's killing me. It's like – so this book comes out. We still don't
know.
Right.
There's no answer to that.
But every page turn, you're like, when are we going to find out?
Right,
and all you find out, obviously we're in spoilers, is that Luke goes to basically the trash heap.
Right.
He thinks he's just going to find a saber sitting on a shelf.
Well, even this whole storyline answers questions that we've always had, that we've had for 40 years, right? Because it's like, how does that saber come back? You know, because in the movies, you never get any indication that they went back to Cloud City to get that saber back. We don't see it again till Force Awakens, you know, when Maz has it. And now even with this, we don't know if Luke ever gets it back in these comics. We just know he's there looking.
We know somebody grabbed it.
Right, because we know he's there looking for it, but you and I know that it's not in that trash room, because we know somebody else took it already.
Exactly.
So he might never find it again, you know.
I would venture to guess that he doesn't, or if he does, he loses it again.
Yeah, because somehow it ends up in episode 7. So,
right. Do you know why he ended up with a green saber? Did we talk about this on the podcast before?
I don't think so.
Okay. Do you know why he ended up with a green saber in Jedi?
Mm-mm.
Because they were his biggest scene at the beginning. Had a big – they were in the desert with a big blue sky background, and they wanted to set it apart from the sky. That was the behind-the-scenes reason.
Why he had a green saber.
Why he had a green saber. Everything after that is all just been like backfill.
Retconning.
On story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
which
I
thought was
that.
Really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, because now they have even what the blades mean, and there's all kinds of stuff.
Right. But you don't choose it. It chooses you.
Right. It's the wand chooses the wizard kind of thing, but –
yeah, exactly. But yeah, so
but no, I didn't know that was the technical reason why.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. It was like, oh, that was strictly. The other part of this story, that whole Star Destroyer,
that was really cool.
Backstory.
Yeah, that was really
wasn't
cool.
It? And it actually made you feel for the people, and like you said, like, or we've said many times, like, you're the hero of your own story.
Right, because they talk about all the people that were,
those people.
Right, because they talk about all the people that were murdered by Leia and the rebels, because again,
they're the good guys. We're trying to bring peace to the galaxy.
Right.
We're the police.
Yep.
And can you imagine, like, if people rose up against the police,
right,
and you'd be like, those hoodlums?
Right.
And it's like, no, they are the rebels, and they are the rebels, but it's, they blew up a Death Star.
Yeah.
And killed, you know, thousands of people.
All the maintenance workers, all the plumbers, you know, the Jane's Island Bob routine.
How about the poor guy on the destroyer that was like, I can get that fixed.
Right. And because then I was like, what am I missing? I went back and read that again. Because I know. He just said he wanted to fix it and she's yelling at him. And I was like, what did I miss? Let me go back and read this again. And then you don't find out till the next page kind of what's going on.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm confused.
And then, like, I felt bad for him when she, like, she does her little speech and then, like, the whole room is, like, on her side.
Yeah.
And that poor guy is just like, oh.
What did I do?
Sorry. Yeah. I didn't know, you know. And he's like, I just got
here. I
wasn't
briefed.
What a go-getter.
Yeah.
He just got
on
there.
I just got
here.
I was like, hey, I can get a team together to fix this ship.
I know. And that the fact that the ship was destroyed, or not destroyed, but damaged by the Death Star.
Yeah.
Shrapnel from the Death Star. And they showed – that's what I like too is they're also showing scenes from the movie. You know, they showed that one scene with the ring coming out of the Death Star.
Yeah, the special edition version.
The new version.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, exactly. Oh, my God. Even here we have the special edition version. I just want the OG movies, man.
Yeah.
Not as fun to draw.
But, yeah, so then at the end, we haven't said it yet in the podcast, but Leia was put into carbonite.
Yeah, she was carbon froze. Which, again, goes back to when we talked about how do you know what happens when you thaw out? Well, because she's done it.
Yep.
That was awesome.
And it wasn't, and it also that made me start thinking of Mandalorian too.
Yeah,
because Mandalorian takes place after this.
Yeah,
so they all like the Mandalorian. That's why they have more, like they have the portable units that he has on his ship and everything. But in this one here, it's like, yeah, so she knows when she goes to deal with Han. I can't wait for that box set to come out because I'm gonna watch all these movies again. Just this. Three books, and I'm like, I can't wait to watch these movies again.
Yeah, even, right, because a little while ago you were telling me how you didn't need to watch them again for a while because you were Star Wars'd out. The best part of this whole book was the exchange right before they froze her. The two stormtroopers were like, yeah, Lord Vader came up with the idea to do this, and they go, he's a genius, kind of terrifying. But a genius.
Yeah.
It was like, that was awesome. It reminded me of the two sand troopers sitting on the bikes on the Mandalorian, you know?
Yeah.
Or speeder troopers, rather.
Trying to hit the can with the brass. They're having that conversation from, you know, having the troopers have these conversations, which is pretty funny. Kind of like, even in Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
You had them having that conversation.
It puts a little bit more humanity to them. You know, you really know that they're people inside. Because again, we talked about how when we were kids, we weren't sure if they were robots or what they were. But now you really get that they're just guys. You know, they're just guys.
They're just guys
that were
killed.
Yeah, they're just soldiers.
Just, you know. Soldiers that they're killing.
Yeah.
That's all cool.
But they're just regular guys. Like, they just have regular conversations when they're not shooting at you, you know?
Right.
So.
Yeah. No, it's – I thought it was a – I was so excited
it was
after
a lot
I
of
read
fun.
This book.
Well, and again, even the idea because, again, none of the stuff – most of the stuff never gets revisited when you get to Return of the Jedi. But, you know, the idea of Lando going back for Lobot, you know, and you know, what happens there. And, you know, it was really cool. It's filling in a lot of gaps. And that's what I was saying before where – you know, the first series of books that they came out with, it took place after A New Hope, but it wasn't filling in any story from those movies. You know what I mean? It was just kind of new adventures where this really feels like it's building off of Empire. Obviously, they're written by two different people, but this really feels like they're going to bridge the gap between Empire and Jedi and explore a lot of things that people have been wondering about for, you know, 40 years. You know, these are all the conversations we've had since we were kids, you know. How does she know what happens when you come out of carbonite freezing, you know?
That's what I mean. It's like
– Because you know why we're getting that answer? Because Charles Soule asked that same question on the playground when he was a kid, you know?
Exactly.
And
exactly.
He's answering
these
his own questions.
Right. Yep. Exactly. Like, I got an idea. Yeah. And it's, I mean, it's crazy. When I saw that, and that's what I thought was so much fun. First thing, I couldn't wait to see who grabbed the saber.
Right.
We still don't know.
We don't know.
And every page turn, you couldn't wait to find out. And then you find out, you're like, oh, look at what Leia's doing. She's learning how to defrost. Right. You know? And you're like, that is so cool. That answers. You turn the page. Holy crap. She's been frozen in carbonite. Right. And it was like, I had to turn the page a couple of times. I was like,
yeah,
that's her. I was like, that answers that question.
Well, how about Lando snapping at Luke too there at the end when he's like, hey, I'm getting pinned down. Can you get up to level such and such? And I don't even remember what
109.
Luke just says something. And Lando's like, are you going to get up here and help me or what? He's like, exactly. He's like, yeah, like, you expect me to just jump 109 levels in 8 seconds? It's like, you know, it's like, by the time I get up there, you're going to be dead. So he's like, yeah, I'm coming, but let me just go do this first. And he's like, you know, that's when he goes in the room and sees the giant trash pile. But yeah, I don't know. It's got a lot of, it seems like they've really captured the personalities well of all the characters. You get Lando's personality a little bit more because Lando was, even though he was in Jedi, like, you never really got to know him all that well. But it feels like with these books, you're getting to, you know, kind of get to know his personality a little bit more. Luke and Leia were more fleshed out than Lando was, you know.
Yeah.
So I think this is kind of really filling him in more.
I have a feeling we might get a little bit more Luke out of this one too, because you're going to get more backstory on how he got from, well, the Jedi he was at the end to the Jedi that shows up at the beginning.
Right.
You know, there's a lot that can happen there, because he was for all intents and purposes a master in Return of the Jedi.
Right, and you don't really know how he got there, because he never went back to Dagobah, or at least we don't think he did. You know he didn't, because in Return of the Jedi, he goes back and sees Yoda die. So we don't know where he got additional training. So you're right. Maybe this is going to fill in some of that.
This is answering questions. It's answering questions we've had, and it's answering questions you didn't know you had.
Right.
And it's making stuff up, and it's creating even more. And it's, like I said, what, 3 books in, I couldn't be more excited per book.
Right.
And, like, how long have we talked about this one book? And it's what, a 7-minute read?
Yeah. Yeah. We've talked about it longer than it took to read it.
Yeah. And but there's so much to it. You know, it's so much fun. So much fun. Speaking of that, we didn't, and I know this isn't spoilers, so people aren't going to hear it unless you read this book, but Clone Wars.
I was just going to say that. Since we're talking spoilers, let's talk about Clone Wars for a minute.
Yeah.
I was kind of on it, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah.
I liked it.
Here's the reason why. The episode itself was fine, but I felt about this episode the way I did about all of season 8 of Game of Thrones. Like, this episode was fine. But when you know you've only got 12 more ever, like, this isn't what I wanted. You know what I mean? It was like in Game of Thrones, where you know you're only getting 6 episodes, and you spend a whole episode sitting around a fire, telling jokes and drinking and telling stories. You know, I didn't really care about Bad Company or the clones. I wanted to see Ahsoka. I wanted to see, you know, Anakin.
Well, you know these stories have been out there for a while,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I do.
So, but this is all part of, like, that one season.
Right.
Because that's why it's, what, season... This is 7,
it's
right?
It's season 7, so, but it's
but
really
it's actually
6.5,
it's
yeah.
Basic, right. It's like what they're doing with Harley Quinn.
Right.
It's like with a real long hiatus.
Yeah.
But these were all done, and the show was canceled.
But we've had 7 years, so we could have done some tweaks and some other stuff.
I don't know if they did.
Yeah,
I think they just took it, and they... Because... You could actually see these. One of our listeners, Zach, was telling me that you could actually see these on YouTube and stuff in a raw version.
Yeah.
And he's seen them in the past, so he's like, and he's really excited for these. He's really enjoying it. He actually DM'd me on Instagram or whatever on Friday morning, and told me he got to see it because he was in the military. He's on duty that day. And he was telling me, he's like, I got to see it. I was like, I didn't want to say anything to, I was going to DM him at 6 when I saw it, but I didn't want to rub it in because I knew he was on duty.
Yeah.
But, by 9 o'clock he had seen it and he was really excited for it. And he's a young kid and he grew up with this.
Right.
So he's like eyeballs deep in this. He loves this stuff and he knows all the backstories and he's been giving me some, and he, like all of this stuff has already been mapped out.
Right.
And I think they're just finishing it.
And like
off
I said, and it was like fine. Him. It just wasn't what I wanted. You know,
right.
We only have now 5.5 hours left. Well, not even, because they're only 20 minutes apiece.
Right.
So I just wanted, that's not what I wanted out of it.
You know? Ahsoka doesn't show up until like, I think the 5th episode or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. If you go on IMDb, you can see where the characters, like their roles are, the people that play the roles. And like she doesn't show up until like episode 5 or something.
Yeah.
So, and that's what'll keep you going.
Well, it will.
I enjoyed it, and what I liked is like I just binged basically.
Me too. Yeah, all 6 seasons in about a month.
And then when you start this one, it's like, all right, we're back. Yeah. And the disappointing part, it's only 20 minutes.
Right.
You're like, and we're
right. And that's why I really, in some cases, wished we just had it all. But
right.
Also,
but
I also know that I'd be done with it already. And
exactly.
But it's tough to look forward to a whole week and then only get 20 minutes and then, you know.
I know. So. I know. That's all right. You'll find
there.
A way to make
it.
Oh,
I will.
We'll have our updates weekly.
Yeah.
All right. Is that good for this week?
I think so.
You good?
I am.
All right. All right, let's get out of here. We've already wrapped up. That's it for Kryptonite Key Club, and thanks for hanging in, and we will see you on Monday.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors that we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.